Okay, so how are y'all doing tonight?
Good.
All right, we're going to start out a little bit different tonight. You know me, I'm always up for surprises, and I never do anything the same way. And I like to put a little excitement into stuff. So we're going to start by reading our scripture tonight. And there's something there I really want you to know. This year, we've been reading through the Bible in a year. We started in January. I am up to date on my reading. How many of you girls out there are up to date on your reading? Raise your hand. I love, 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 love God's Word. There is just nothing more exciting in my life than God's Word to me. Because when I read His Word, I come to life. I really do. Because I know without a doubt it's true. I know without a doubt there are promises in that word. There are promises that have and will always be kept. I know that without a doubt. So tonight, we have this scripture reading from Luke, and it's going to tell you the story about Mary. It's going to tell you the story about how Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she was going to have the Christ child, the Son of our living God. And it's going to be an awesome scripture because you're going to just kind of see in the story who she is. And then we're going to go and we're going to see where she goes after she hears the word. Because, you know, when we hear something, we want to go and we want to see somebody to confirm what we've heard, or we want to be with somebody else because that's what women do. We're about relationship, right? And then we're going to hear Mary's song back to God because of what has been given to her. And Megan, my awesome, wonderful, beautiful friend of many years, is going to come up and read it for us. So while she's reading, I want you to just listen and just really picture yourself. I want you to think about what it was like during this day. I want you to think about what she's reading. I know it's kind of hard. I want all your cell phones down, especially my teenage girls. All of the cell phones down, everything down. I just want you to listen. And I want you just to ponder. And I want you to get excited because God's word is so exciting. So Megan, come on up.
Okay, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be reading Luke 1, starting at verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with the child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and was greeted with Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary's song. And Mary said, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home.
I'm going to tell you what. I have read that scripture probably, I would have to say 70 times, maybe 80, from the time that I knew that I was going to be speaking. And you're probably wondering, what is so big about that scripture, right? I want to kind of unfold the story for you, and I kind of want you to see it in a different way. I want you to see it in a different light. Every single time I hear it read or I read it, I get something different out of it. And the thing I want to kind of enlighten you on is when it said in the sixth month, in the scriptures prior to that, when we're doing any type of Bible study and we're reading God's word, we always want to know the context of where it came from and kind of like what was before and what's going to follow to kind of make it sound, to make it more understanding for us. And see, what was happening in this story is that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, had Gabriel had gone to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, prior to coming to Mary. And Zechariah was a priest, a holy man. And here's the angel coming in and telling him, your wife is going to have a child. And he's like, yeah, right. I mean, she was barren. She had no children. She was an older lady. And he just basically said, yeah, right. Well, that didn't go so well over with Zechariah. That's a whole other story. I want to focus on where we're at right here. But the thing about it is that when this whole story started to unfold and Gabriel came to Mary, she sat there, as you could see in the story, she sat there and she looked at him and she said, she just listened. But she had one question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? Can you imagine? I can't imagine it. I tried to put myself like in Mary's position. I don't know how I would have responded if I had been there and all of a sudden I had this huge angel come to me and say, well, hey, Kimber, guess what? You know, you're going to have this child. And I'd be like, I think you have the wrong person. That would not be me, you know. But Mary wasn't like that. And twice in this scripture that I want you to see, twice in this scripture, he told her that she was favored. So that got me thinking, why is she favored? So that's one thing I'm going to talk about. But the other thing that really stuck out with me was that she said yes. Julie called me up about, I don't know, Julie's the head of women's ministries here, along with Heather and a bunch of other women that are just amazing in our women's ministry here at the church. But Julie made the phone call, and she called me and she said, hey, Kimber, you know, wondering if you'd want to speak at the Christmas event. And I really did. I got giddy. I jumped inside, and I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then I thought, oh, man, if I say yes to that, I'm going to have to say no to a lot of other things. Am I willing to say no to all these other things? Because you know, as women, we love to say yes and we love to accept. But when we say yes to one thing, we're going to say no to about 10 other things. We've been talking about this a lot in our house recently. So this is no news to my family, because John has been saying that a lot to our boys. So I thought about that, and I thought about that word, yes. And what does that word mean when you say yes? Yeah, you say yes, and you're going to say no to a lot of other things. But boy, oh boy, if you say yes to the right things in your life, you're going to have a blessed life. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, a little more about yes. So I started kind of going around. I was like, hey, what does it mean when you hear the word yes? When somebody says yes to you, how do you respond? Well, I have a bunch of teenage kids that come around my house all the time. I love them, love them, love them. Some of them said, oh, I'm psyched. And some of them would say, ah, freedom. And some of them would say, yeah, that's all right on. I'm excited about it. And then I asked this lady on the plane, if somebody says yes to you, complete stranger, I have no problem talking to strangers. So I said, if somebody says yes to you, what do you think? What comes to your mind? She said, I get my way. And I thought, that's interesting. That's a good response. I get my way. And I thought, that's an interesting thought. I get my way. Becky said to me one night, we were at dinner with she and Keith, and I said, Becky, when you hear the word yes, what do you think of? She goes, I'm all in. And I thought, that's it. I'm all in. I'm all in. And I want to be all in my life. But John, anybody that knows my husband, loves music. Of course, when I say the word yes to you, honey, what do you think? Oh, man, the band, yes, of course, you know? And then he sat down. It was so funny because then he started going through all the lyrics of the song, of a song from Yes. And we actually had the privilege of seeing them in concert a few times. So, yeah, that would be his response. But so right now, I want you to kind of awaken your body. We're going to talk a lot tonight about your body. I want you to awaken your body. Wake up, wake up. I want you to awaken up your body. I want you to awaken your spirit. I want you to wake up your mind. And I want you to wake up your soul tonight. This program right here that you have, we're going to be writing in this, and hopefully everybody has a pen. If you don't, hopefully some of your neighbors will. But this program, it was kind of cool because when I said yes, I started immediately thinking about what does this whole thing mean to me? What's the picture that I have? So I sketched a picture in my journal of this girl walking down a path carrying a sleigh full of gifts. And it was a snowy path, and there was a lot of trees on the side. And I went, yeah, that's it. And I sketched it out, and I sent it to Hillary. Hillary, you know, is the amazing artist. I would not show it to anybody else, although I think I might have shown it to Heather. So anyway, I'm like, Hillary, can you do a picture like this for the program? And she's like, you know, yeah, you need that? Sure, you know, Hillary. Yeah, I can do that. And then they said, no, we have a graphic artist, Nancy, here at the church that will do this for you. So I got on the phone with Nancy. I was talking to her, and I said, you know, this is kind of what I'm thinking about. We all have a path that we go down in life. We all have a path, right? I was talking to you about that. And I really want it to be a snowy path because I want a big winter. I want a lot of snow this winter. I moved here from South Carolina, and by golly, I want snow. So I was like, I want it to be a snowy path. I want there to be trees along the side. I want a sled in it. I didn't send her my picture. I was too embarrassed to do that. Only Hillary could see that. And I said, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So she sent me this picture, and I got goosebumps, and I started to cry. And I'm like, even the little things in life, Lord, you even care about these little teeny little things. But this is us right here. We are walking along this path. And I love the fact that it's snowing, because a lot of times when we walk in the snow and we walk down, it's quiet, right? And we can just think and ponder and think more. But the bonus of this whole thing that Nancy did was she had this little girl beside the lady. I love that because I just love kids. I really love kids. I especially love teenagers, and I know that sounds really crazy, but I do. I was having lunch with some people from some of our business partners that are around in the state, and I said, "So what are you going to be doing this weekend?" I go, "Oh gosh, I've got all these teenagers coming over on Friday night. My girls are coming over, and then all these guys, all the other boys will be coming over on Saturday." They said, "Did you say teenagers?" I said, "Yeah." And they were like, "You are crazy." I go, "I know, I'm crazy. I love them. I love everything about them. I do. I love the drama. I love just to hear their ideas and to hear how they think. And they know it. That's the thing. They know I love them. They know I care. I love to take them for coffee. I love to take them for bagels. I love to take them down to the beach. I love to do whatever I can. Any opportunity, I'll text them, 'Kay, can we get together?' I love it when they take me up on it because it's just a time for me just to speak to them and just to hear their heart and to know who they are. So that's one of the reasons that I really love this program, because we are women and we love relationship, whether it's with teenagers, our families, our friends. We love being in relationship. And that's one thing you've got to remember, is that life is a journey. It's a pathway. And there are gifts that we carry along the way. And we have people by our side. But do we always really realize the gifts that we have around us? Something I want you to really think about tonight. Tonight's a thinking night, in case you haven't noticed. I've been doing a lot of soul searching. And I really want you to think about a lot of different things. So in this program, we're going to take a few notes. And if you don't want to take notes because you're tired of being in school or you're tired of being at work, I completely get it. But I just wanted you to know that that's one thing we're going to be using tonight. I think it's kind of funny how our culture prides itself on immediate results and instant gratification. Yet we are experts at putting life off. We just don't want to think about it. What did I mean by that? We don't really sometimes want to live. We don't really want to think about what we're thinking about. We don't want to think about where we are in our life and where we're going. But life has its precious moments. And our precious moments don't happen in the when we get there. It happens in the now. Because our now and what we do now, how we see things now, determine our when. And John said I should probably spell that for y'all. It's W-H-E-N. It's our when. I can't pronounce it the way y'all do here in California. And it's an important thing to remember, is that we need to really think about our now, because our now determines our when. Our decisions that we make right now, I say this to my kids all the time, our decisions determine our destiny and where we go. And that's some other things I want to talk to you about, is the decisions that we make. Mary made an amazing decision. She had this, you know, every single time an angel met somebody in the Bible, and we've read through the Bible this whole year, and it's just been amazing to see. And the angels have come to see different people. Every single time they come to see them, the people are trembling, like can't even stand up. Why do you think that is? Because the angel is mighty. The angel's glorious. The angel's big. He's a messenger from God. He's holy. And here she is. And they say, you know, most commentaries, it's not that Mary, you know, a lot of times you see Mary as being like 30, 25, something like that. The commentaries and everything in this history of our Bible shows that Mary was young. She wasn't a really old person. She was a young girl, you know. Can you imagine, Hannah? If the angel came to you and said, "Hey, Hannah, and you're only how old?" You know, so it's like that, the yes that she said, I just really want you to understand that. And the other thing I want you to understand is that her connection with where she was is why she was favored. What does that mean, she was favored? Our connection to whatever we have, our connection is always going to affect our perspective. I'll give you an example. I just really don't like that church. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. I don't like those church people. Mm-mm. Nope, they're hypocritical. They say this, they say that, they do that. Well, when's the last time that you went to church? Oh, I went back in April of 2008, maybe. Yeah, those people didn't speak to me. I didn't really like them. That's your perspective. But that's your perspective because that's your connection. And the thing about it with Mary is that she had this amazing connection with her Savior. Otherwise, she would not have been called favored. There's no way, because he knew her. He knew her by name. That's the other thing in the scripture. That's another thing you pick up. He knew her by name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. Do you know he knows every hair on your head? And do you know what else he does? He loves you. He honestly, wholeheartedly loves you. So here she is. We've got this perspective going because of her connection. Mary knew her destiny, and she knew that her decisions would determine her destiny. The other thing that she knew, which I don't know if you know, but in that day, when they were engaged to be married, if they were found having any type of sexual relations while they were married, pregnancy would be the big clue, they could be stoned to death. That was the law. That was the culture. She knew that. She knew that full-heartedly. She knew that when she made that decision, that's what it was going to take. It was going to be, she could have had that happen to her. The story goes on and on. It's such a great story. I would encourage you to keep reading in the book of Luke, because then it goes on to everything that happens after that. It's just so amazing. Now I want you to think about your life. I want you just to pause for a minute. And in your program, I want you to write down that word, you. And in parentheses, you can write me. You know, when you're in math class, they always tell you the first thing that you solve is the thing that's in the parentheses. So that would be your me. But I want you to write the word you first. I want you to think about yourself. I want you to really get in touch with that awareness inside of yourself. And then I want you to hear me while I tell you this. Like I said earlier, we have a Savior. We have a God who is real, who is alive. He's not some myth. He is real. And he knows you. And he knows every hair on your head. He knows every pimple on your face. He knows every single thing about you. He knows every thought that you have. And he loves you. You, I want you to think about who you are. You are wonderfully and uniquely made. How do I know that? Because I'm told that in this word, and this word is truth. That, you know what? He knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. He knew me. He knew that I would be standing here today. He knew that there is somebody in this room that just needs to hear that they are uniquely and wonderfully made. He knew that. He also tells us, and this is another thing I'm going to tell you, that you are beautiful. I don't care what Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I don't care what any of that stuff says. Jessica, you are beautiful, and you've got to know that. Your smile radiates. You are beautiful, and you are loved. I just want you to focus on the inward beauty of who you really are. Have you ever met somebody and you just think, wow, they're just not really that attractive? I mean, really, be honest. They're not really that attractive. I'll have to admit it, yeah. They're just not really that attractive. But boy, I get to know who they are, and all of a sudden they become the most beautiful person in my life. Have you ever met anybody like that? Like, wow, why is that? Because their inward beauty comes out, and it overshadows their outward beauty, right? Wow. All right, I'm going to be a little transparent here. I was in Raley's. I've told the story to the girls. They know this story. I was in Raley's this summer. It's at the end of the summer. I ran in. I was trying to get all my stuff, you know, how you have to. I was leaving the office, and I had to get back home, and I had to get all the stuff for supper and everything. And I'm running in, and I'm going, you know, just, you know how we do. We just go around, and I look over, and I see this girl, and I'm like, whoa, man, she is beautiful. Gosh, look at that tan, and look how beautiful, I mean, beautiful body, I mean, young, blonde, you know, had this gorgeous skirt on, and I thought, man, she is beautiful. You know how you just have that fleeting thought when you see somebody, but there's a lot of thoughts that go into one little moment. I'm like, wow, she's beautiful. I go over, and I start doing my checkout, you know, and I hear this, I'm like, what is going on? I look over and I'm like, are you talking to me? And it was that beautiful girl who had that bottle of wine looking over her shoulder, waiting for somebody, I thought. And I go, are you talking to me? I'm still scanning. And she goes, I mean, really? Like, I wasn't waiting in line? And I went, I didn't think you were waiting in line. You were looking over your shoulder. I didn't think you were waiting in line. And you just completely just went right in front of me and just cut me off. And I just was like, I really didn't know that you were doing that. I really didn't know that you were waiting. I'm sorry. She kept going on and on and on. And finally, I just put my stuff down and I just stood there and I just looked at her. And I go, you know what? It's just really too bad. It's just too bad. And she's like, what? And I said, it's just too bad that the inside doesn't match the outside. I finished, I checked out, and the whole time I'm checking out, I'm going, I cannot believe I just said that. That is so not me. I had a hormonal moment. I'm like, that is just so not me. But that is so often, if you think about it, gosh, somebody can be the most beautiful person on the outside and just rigid and crummy on the inside. I don't want to be like that. I totally don't want to be like that, nor do I want to be like that how I was in the store, but you know, well, whatever. But I just believe that just getting back to our story and back to where we are is that just to live intentionally, to live where we are, to know the reality of who our God is in our life. And if you don't know who our God is, if you don't know who you worship, if you don't know the Lord, I just want you to leave these doors tonight curious, at least a little curious about who he is. Because he's grace, he's hope, he's mercy. He meets you in the broken places of your life. And he helps you live intentionally. I want to live intentionally. I want to have that intent. What about you? We're writing down this thing about you. And it's a gift. Do you realize that you are a gift? You are a gift. And we love these little boxes, don't we? Yes, we do. But you are a gift, and you've got to realize that. So I want to ask you a question. I know this is like really off the wall. This is really off the wall. You're going to really think I've lost it. But I want to ask you, are you writing your resume or are you writing your eulogy? Your resume tells about who you are, tells your educational background, where you live, the experience that you have. Believe me, we've looked at a lot of resumes through our business. They look really good on paper and then boom, you sometimes meet them and they're just not. Sometimes and most of the time you meet them and they are. But your resume just tells like all that kind of stuff, right? Or are you writing your eulogy? What you want people to say about you after you're gone. Because a eulogy really does. It sings your praises. It sings the praises about who you are. So I've been thinking about this a lot lately. A heck of a lot. I don't know why. It's just been put on my heart. And so I've been kind of writing down, you know, okay, well, what kind of things do I want in my eulogy? What kind of things would I want people to say about me after I'm gone? Because I figured if they're going to say it after I'm gone, I better be living it right now, right? So I thought about that. Okay, man, I really want people to say that she was really generous. Last weekend, I had over, I don't know how many boys it was, 10? Teenage boys, 7, something like that. I've lost count. And I made this really amazing meal on Friday. Just two different things. You always have to have tons of food. That's one thing about having teenage boys. I've got 3 teenage boys. Can you believe that? 3. I love it. Absolutely love it. But that's one thing you have to do is just feed them and they'll be happy, right? I even asked the boys one night, what is it that you really like coming to my house for? Oh, it's definitely the food. It's definitely the food. Oh, thanks. Right. It's the food. So anyway, they're all standing there, and Spencer, Robin's son, stands there, and he's just like, he puts his plate down, and he just looks like this. And I went, oh my gosh, you don't like lasagna and this amazing spaghetti sauce that John had made off the charts. I go, you don't like this? And he goes, you are so generous. And I went, right on, right on. I'm living what it is that I want people to say about me. I also want him to say, man, that woman, she's a prayer warrior. She loves the Lord. She radiates when she reads God's word. And I want people to say about me, wow, she just really listens to me. She really cares. Most of all, I want him to say, man, she just really loved. And she had that inward beauty. And I want him to say, I loved her heart. So God, please let my heart be yours. Let it be what it is that you want to say to these women, to these people in my life. I want it to resonate in my home first and foremost. I want my kids, I want my husband to see my heart. I want them to know who I am so that when I'm gone, they can say, wow, she loved. And that's what it is, y'all. The bottom line is love. We got to love. And we got to love. And it's so hard, and I get it, and I fail at it all the time. But we got to love unconditionally. We really do, just like our Father loves us. So here it is. We're back to the scripture. Mary has this whole word. She says, yes, let it be as my servant. And what does she do? She goes to see Elizabeth, her relative, right? And I just think that's so awesome that God even gave her that he planned that whole thing out. Elizabeth was having the forerunner, as he's called, John the Baptist. He was going to go before Jesus, and he was going to foretell of Jesus' coming. And I love how when she walked into that room, the baby leapt inside of Elizabeth's womb. Not only that, Mary had that, she had that confirmation almost that she was there. That, you know, this is real. This is happening. She had that humility of spirit, and she gave that praise song. I want you to go back and read that, but just in her praise, she gave God the glory. She gave God the praise. She humbled herself before him. And so, once again, I want you to pull out your bulletin thing there, and I want you to write down emotional. Emotional. While you're writing that, I just want to reiterate with you how important our relationships are in our life. I really want you to think about our relationships. One thing that my best friend Diana has always said to me, and it really hit home with me because she raised three boys and I'm raising three boys, and she said this, and my boys know it by heart. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Think about who you hang around with. Think about your relationships. Do they point you towards your goals? Do they point you towards Jesus, in my opinion? Do they lift you up? Do they encourage you? And that's all about relationship. So as we're going to go on here, we're going to talk about the emotional part. Because we all are women, and we all get so emotional, and we all get spun out every now and then, and we get all excited every now and then, and you know, it's like, I get so excited about stuff, and they're, really, Mom, you're getting excited about that? Yeah. But have you ever thought about a tornado? Tornadoes and emotion, how's that go together? Well, a tornado is spiral, it's completely spiral. Every single thing that tornado touches, it destroys. It lifts up and it slams down. Are we allowing our emotions to be like that tornado? To spiral us out of control and cause destruction to all the others around us? I've witnessed that a lot this year with women just completely destroying men. And it really grieves my soul. You know, we need to be lifting our men up. We need to be encouraging our man. We need to let them know that without a doubt, man, they are the center of the universe. That we love them, that we honor them, that we respect them. I don't want to be this tornado, this spiral thing out of control and just hitting everything in my path, my kids included, my friends. I don't want to be like that. You know, I take Pilates from the most amazing woman. I'm not kidding. You know, there's pros and there's amateurs in this world. She's definitely a pro. She is somebody that loves what she does. And she loves it so much that she wants other people to succeed, and she wants to give all the tidbit of information that she can so that we can grow and we can learn. How many of you have teachers like that in your life? How many of you have leaders like that in your life? We all need that in our life. We totally need people like that in our lives. Mine just happens to be Gina. And one night when we were at a mat class, I mean, seriously, we're just doing all these exercises and all this stuff, you know, and all this. She said, you know, our bodies are spiral. And I got to thinking about that. She said, our bodies are fluid. They're meant to be fluid. They're meant to move and have flexibility, and they're meant to be spiral. So you know what I did? I came home and I looked that up. I thought, spiral, I've never heard that before. I looked that up. Hillary and I talked about it. I looked it up, and sure enough, every single thing in my body is spiral. Yeah. Our muscles, the way that our muscles are, they're spiral. Do you know even my cochlea in my ear is like a snail that puts all the fluid in there, that the vibrations go, and my brain says, I can hear. Yeah. So anyway, I thought, that's pretty amazing. We're always spiraling, if you think about it. I kind of took it to a deeper level in thinking about it more, and every single time that I'm in any of the classes, I really think about that and how my body needs to move with fluidity, that I need to release a lot of different things in my body so that I can really get the most benefit out of not only the workout, but out of my life. And I started thinking about that and how my movements are fluid. They're organic. She uses that word too, organic. I'm like, wow, what does that mean when she says that? It means that I'm going to have to talk to her just to make sure I get all this right. But it's organic. It's raw in a sense. It's not rigid. Key word in that. It's not rigid. But often the uncertainties and the lack of hope that just takes over our life, all of a sudden, we start to spiral out of control, and then we become this rigid person. It's not who we were created to be. We're meant to be fluid. We're meant to be spiral. We're meant to be flexible. It gives us more strength. We're not this way. I'm going to just demonstrate. We're not this way. How many times have I been that way? A lot. And so I started really noticing that about myself. Like if I get in a hurry, I don't give myself enough margin in my day, I don't give myself enough time, I don't breathe. I need to breathe. And so I become very rigid. But you know what? Fluidity flows. Rigidity breaks. And before long, if you're that rigid and you're that hard and you're that brittle, you're going to break. You're just going to break because there's nothing there, because you're not filling yourself up with the things that are really important to be filling yourself up with. And I would have to say that would be God's word, because in God's word, it gives me life. And through life, I have a better perspective. I have a better connection. I know what my body can do. Our bodies are so are so wonderfully made. It just blows my mind how wonderfully made our bodies are. So there was another day. It might have been the same day, we were doing a workout, and she said, you know, your fascia holds your emotions, and sometimes that restricts how you move. I came home and I looked that up. Our fascia. I even called her. Tell me what this means. You know, give me the whole lowdown of the whole thing. Our fascia is a thin layer of tissue that is throughout our body. And she described it to me, it's almost like a sock. You know, when you put a sock on, you can't just pull up one side, the whole thing comes up. But it's a fibrous tissue, and it's beneath the skin. And do you realize that this tissue, that it connects our muscles, and it suspends, it keeps our vital organs in place, right? Think about that. Think tonight about your fascia. Blows my mind. But you know what? Inside of it, it holds emotions. It can actually hold, it can hold fear, it can hold anxiety, it can hold sadness, but it can also hold happiness. It affects how we move. It can also restrict and enable us. It can also allow us to get sick or, you know, like suffer from an illness or suffer from an injury if we don't take really good care of it. And that's one thing I have to think about is in my emotional state, where am I at in my emotional state? Am I allowing, this is a big thing in a lot of lives. And I got to witness some victory in this area this week, which was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Unforgiveness and bitterness can cause so much rigidity in our lives. It can make us so rigid and so brittle. If we don't relent and forgive, I got to witness this between two friends this week where they just laid it all out and asked for forgiveness, and there was restoration and reconciliation. I wept as I watched. It was so amazing. Are you hanging on to unforgiveness? Are you hanging on to grudges? Are you hanging on to things in your life? You need to let those go. We need to be fluid. We need to flow. We don't need to be rigid. And we don't need to have that inside of us. And oftentimes what it takes is to practice patiently. One day we were reading and in Mark's book, and it said in there to practice patiently, and I stopped right where we were, and I started talking to he and Luke, and I said, what does that mean to practice patiently? What does that mean? Patiently practice, they said. I kind of think deeper than that. I didn't realize I was such a deep thinker until just recently. But I'm like, gosh, you know what? That means to practice on a daily basis. John always says that. Practice, rehearse. Can't remember the other one. But it's just like you need to train. You got to train, practice, rehearse all the time. And that's basically what you're doing when you're practicing these things in your life. You know, you don't always need to think that you're right. We don't always need to think that we're entitled to something. Because we're not. We're simply not. You know what? You hurt me, so I'm going to do this to you. Well, that gets you a really long way. What that does is that keeps all the stuff inside of yourself, and then we just struggle to let it somehow come out, and it all comes out in other areas of our life. A lot of times what we do in our lives, and this affects our emotional being, is that we choose to believe the lies instead of the truth. The truth will set you free. But oftentimes, we have believed a lie in our life so long that it has become our truth. It's become our reality. And then when you try to break that and you try to walk away from that, oh, I can't do that. I'm too comfortable with this. Dysfunctional. I'm too comfortable with this dysfunctional lifestyle. I'm too comfortable with this. It doesn't feel so good to walk away from that. That's where relationships come into play. And that's where the Word of God comes into play, that you can just go before Him. You can get with a sister in Christ. You can get with someone to say, gosh, I'm just being pulled down in so many different directions, and I just need to be pulled up. There's a center line that we have in our body. That's another thing we've been working on and talking about. The center line has all of your vital organs in it. And we've been working a lot on our core, like our deep core, because when you're really working with your core, you're working on your balance. You're working on your posture. You're working on everything in your body. Your core, what you're thinking, what you have here is your strength inside of your body. So I took that a little further when she said that. She said, you know, you got to really think about your lower core. And so I started thinking about that, and I thought, what about my other core? What about the core of my soul? How is the core of my soul going right now? Is it well with my soul? And I started really thinking about that. What is the best yes in my life that's going to help me grow? That's going to help me nourish that core that I have? Saying yes is pretty courageous in so many ways. And it's not going to be comfortable at first. But you know what? The thing about it that I've always said and that I always feel is that I know who I am in Christ. without a doubt, I do know that I'm loved. I do know that I make mistakes, but I do know that I'm forgiven. I do know that I have a Savior. I do know all this. I do know that I can go to His Word and read in His Word. I do know that I work on my core, my center line, because in my center line is my heart. And I do know that I work on that daily. I will be found every morning about 5 o'clock, 5:30, sitting in the couch with my blanket around me, reading my one-year Bible. And then I'll go work out, or then I'll go do something else. But you will find me there most mornings. Because I know that without a doubt, I've got to work on that innermost core. I've got to work on who I am and who I am in Christ. So with emotional part, what I know will always trump what I feel every time. Because my emotions can get spiral out of everything. But if I know that I know that I know, wait a minute, whoa, this is not what God has for me. This is not who I am in Christ. That sounds so Christianese. I don't mean that to sound so Christianese to some people. It's just the fact that I have a Savior that loves me. I have a Savior that died on a cross for my sins. And I sin all the time. And I'm just humbled even to be here today to even share with you some of the things in my own life. And some of the times when we go through things in our life, we don't really know how it's going to end up or what's going to happen or why God's leading us in some way. And honestly, I felt that way like 25 years ago. I was engaged to be married 25 years ago, about that, 26 years ago, more or less. I had been dating this guy for 2.5 years. Great guy. Awesome guy. He was actually pretty handsome. He was on all of the billboards in South Carolina. He modeled a lot and he did all kinds of stuff. You know, he was just one of those really nice guys. But my girlfriends came to visit me when I was living up in D.C. for the 4th of July. And they said, you know what? We've been driving up here for 8 hours. Not 8 hours. It was 4 hours from South Carolina. And we've just decided that you are marrying the wrong person. Oh, thanks. I'm getting married in October. This is July 4th. Not a good time for you to be telling me this. But they were like, you know what? This is not the guy for you. We just don't really feel like this is who the Lord has for you. Some of you have heard this story. I'm not going to get into all the details of everything. It's a pretty amazing story, actually. But I was just sitting there, and we stayed up until 4:30 in the morning. Me convincing them that they were wrong and them telling me that I was wrong and that I was marrying the wrong person. And I was like, ugh. But I knew deep down inside, I knew without a doubt, oh, they're right. Doggone it, they're right. You got to listen to your friends. Listen to your friends. They know you sometimes better than you know yourself when you're in a euphoria state and you think you're doing the right thing. And they call you on the carpet on a few things and they start calling out a few things and you think, oh my gosh, no, this is not right. But you know it is. So time went on. I did break my engagement with that guy. I ended up calling this guy. Well, actually, gosh, let me back up. While they were there, we did the 4th of July festivities in D.C. It was amazing. On July 5th, day after all the festivities, we went riding around. I showed him all the monuments. We went to everything. We're driving back to pick up my roommate to go out to dinner. We're just driving along. I went, oh, you got to see the Jefferson Memorial. Tidal Basin's beautiful. Beautiful sunset. I'm all about all that stuff. I get all excited. You got to see it. Ching, off of 3 lanes, you know, get off. We go up to the Jefferson Memorial. We're taking pictures, the 3 girls, Sherry, Kendall, me. Taking pictures. I take one of the 2 of them. They take, you know how it goes. All of a sudden, this guy comes up and he goes, Hey, I'll take your picture. We're like, hey, he's kind of cute. All right, take our picture. So he took our picture. He had this other friend that was with him who came down and started talking. And we all started talking and everything. And before you knew it, we all went out to dinner. And we went to the most amazing restaurant. I loved it. It was started pouring down rain. We pulled our table under the awning. And all we kept doing was just listening to all the stories of these 2 California guys. You know? And one of the guys, it was really funny because Sherry, my girlfriend Sherry, she's an evangelist all the time. And she was talking about the Lord. And I looked at David and I said, are you a Christian? And David said, no. But Johnny boy here, he's kind of talking to me a little bit about that. I looked at John and I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes, I am a born-again Christian, and Jesus Christ is the most important thing in my life. How many men do you know say that? I went, we all did that. We get back to my place. Yeah, see, that's the kind of guy. That's what we're telling you. That's the kind of guy we can see you marrying. He's all excited. He just rings the heck out of life. He just has it. He's enthusiastic. We can just so see you marrying somebody like that. And think about it. Kimber Allen, doesn't that sound great? Time went on. A lot of different things happened with that. I was a flight attendant at the time, so I was flying around different places, and I was in Dallas, and I got his phone number from Sherry. It was 2 weeks later. She said, well, it took you long enough. I said, no, I just want to call him and talk to him, see what's going on. Okay. Talk to him. Oh, you know, I'm getting ready to go play a softball game, and I've just got off work. I'll try to call you later. This was before cell phones. Gave him the phone number to my hotel. I went out to dinner with some friends in Dallas and got back. No flashing light on my phone. I thought, awesome. He didn't call. I don't have to worry about it. I can just marry Dave and everything will be all right. Is that horrible? That's horrible. Laugh. It's horrible. He ended up calling and we talked for over 2 hours. And during that conversation at the end, I said, you know, I just want to know when we met, was there anything there? Any way you answer this question is going to be good, by the way. I had parties planned, all this stuff, and I wasn't really thinking about everything. And he goes, yeah, I did. I totally felt something when we met. But you're engaged to be married. So whatever you do, you got to do for you. I went down to see my pastor in South Carolina. Awesome man. And we talked about different things, about me moving down to South Carolina to, you know, work on the relationship. And he says to me, you know, if you want to go to him and say you want to postpone the wedding, if he says to you, we're not going to postpone this wedding, we're just going to cancel it all together, then you need to give him his ring back. And I kid you not, I went to see him. I said, you know, I'm just thinking we need to postpone our wedding. We need to think about this for a little more. And he goes, no way. If we're going to postpone our wedding, we're going to cancel it all together. I went, here you go. And then I went home. I was at my parents' house, and I opened up my closet. And there was this wedding gown hanging there in my closet. Walk-in closet, sun shining on it. And all of the iridescence started flying and just bouncing off of my face. And I fell to the floor. And I was like, God, I know this was the right thing to do, but I'm miserable because my whole life was already planned. I had all this stuff going on. And now it's all uncertain. And I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know what I'm doing. And you know what he said to me? You will wear that dress in less than 2 years, and it will be with the man that I've chosen for you, not who you chose for you. Hallelujah. So it wasn't long after that, I married John and moved to Lake Tahoe, California, of which I didn't even hardly know existed. And here I am. All of that to say is that so many times in life, and just like Mary, I don't think she really knew everything that was going to happen in her course of life. She had a lot of uncertainties, but she made that decision. She said yes. And that decision led to a lot of different things, as it did for me. I had to move out to the West Coast. You people in California are way different than they are in South Carolina. I love you. I love you, love you. But it's just so different. And people don't understand that until I just start talking about some of the stuff that we say or do in South Carolina as compared to here. It's an awesome place, though. My sister and I, when Austin graduated from high school this last year, my sister and I were walking, and she started crying, and she said, I am so overwhelmed at the amount of people that you have in your life that love you and love your family. And I'm like, me too. I've bloomed where I've been planted. All of that to say, we've talked about you, we've talked about emotion. Now I just want to talk to you about, and what I had to do basically was surrender. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people, because they feel like surrender is all about weakness. It feels like it's a doormat. It feels like, so that's the word I want you to write down now, is surrender. One of the things that Gina said to me is that it's almost like honoring how you feel when you surrender. You know, sometimes our bodies are just tired and we just have to surrender that. And we just have to go, you know, I just don't feel like doing that today. Or, you know, just honoring our bodies. I think Mary did that as well. She just surrendered. She said, as you say it is, I'm your servant. As you say it is, she just surrendered it all. It's trusting in the unknown. And it's having to give the faith, having to have the faith to take the next step. It's not always something we know is going to happen. The uncertainty is really sometimes hard to deal with. And the surrender part, well, what am I surrendering anyway? I don't really get that, Kimber. What are you talking about that I have to surrender? I think sometimes in our lives we feel like we just have to measure up to this one thing, and we just have to keep going and going and going and going, and we just keep thriving and thriving and thriving, and we just keep trying to achieve. When in reality, if we just surrendered, especially to the Lord Jesus Christ, I really believe that everything else will fall into place with where we are, because we were created to worship Him. We were created in His image. We were uniquely and wonderfully made. And there is a gift in surrendering, because then we surrender all of everything. We surrender who we are. We surrender not who we are, but we surrender a lot of our things to who God is. I want you to take that word, you, and I want you to circle the Y. And that word, emotional, and I want you to circle the letter E. And surrender, I want you to circle that S. I want you to have the best yes in your life. Does all that make sense? I want you to really think about who you are. Where am I in my life? What am I thinking about? Where am I going in my life? Do I have substance in my life? And I really want you to think about your emotional state, because what we think about, we become. And what we put in, it totally comes out. We need to remember that we are spiral. We're fluid. We have fluid. We're not supposed to be rigid. Have you ever tried to give somebody a hug and they're just like this? It's uncomfortable. It's like, gosh, really? I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you want to go, what is going on in your life that's so bad that you feel like you're at this emotional state that you're at? Do you feel like you're just really dark in your life? Do you feel like you're really euphoric and you have an amazing thing going on in your life and you've got all this other stuff that's just so awesome and you're just moving forward with all these things, but you're just leaving all these other people behind? So we have to think about relationship along with our emotional state. And we have to really think about surrendering, because our souls, our center, we got to think about where our souls are. One of the things that they teach a lot in when you're kind of going through different things is just to halt and not make big decisions. If you're hungry, H for halt. If you're angry, if you're lonely, or if you're tired. And that's something you need to really think about. And I think sometimes in our own lives, we just need to halt. And we really need to go, who are you anyway? I want to apologize. I want to ask for forgiveness. If there has been anybody that is in the church that has hurt someone, because we know without a doubt we are called to love, we are called to forgive. And we were reading today in our one-year Bible, and Daniel was going before the Lord, and he was just praying forgiveness for the wickedness and the sins of all the people in Israel. And so many times I think that we don't want to surrender. We don't want to know who Christ is, because we have this horrible picture of who He is. When it's quite opposite. There is freedom in Christ. God is an amazing God. He longs for your soul, and He longs to be your Savior. So this is what I ask you. I'm always about the why in your life, and I'm going to close pretty soon here. I've talked a long time, and I apologize. But we've always got to know the why in our life. I tell my boys this all the time. You've got to know why you believe. You've got to know why you're doing something. But I also tell them, good point for you girls too, you always got to know your way out. What's your way out? But you always got to really know your why. If we know our why of why we're doing something, nothing can shake us. I want to know my why so strongly that I will be able to say, I know why without a doubt. I know why without a doubt the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He loves me. He forgives me. He is the light in my darkness. All of us experience darkness. All of us do. But you've got to know that at the depth of even the hardest of hearts that we have, He can break through that and that He's going to hold you. You've got to remember. That's another word that we saw in our one-year Bible this year. I love that. Remember. Remember that God created you. Remember that you are a gift. And remember to find your center. Find your soul. It's crying out for a Savior. You can try to fill it with so many different things, and we often do, but it will never be filled because we weren't created that way. It will never be filled by something else. You'll go from this place tonight and you'll think I'm wrong. Some people will. But I'm going to tell you, in the next 2 weeks, there are going to be things that are going to happen in your life, and you're going to come back and you're going to think about that again because your soul longs for a Savior. Your soul longs for rest. Your soul longs for peace. And like I said earlier, if something's happened where you felt just shunned or you felt rejected or you felt anything with anyone that knows the Lord, I apologize. I'm sorry that you have felt that way. Sammy's going to come up in a few minutes and Chris, and they're going to play, and Sammy's going to sing this song, Mary, Did You Know? I love this song. Did you know, Mary, that he made the lame walk, that he made the blind to see. I'm lame sometimes. I can't walk sometimes, but he's going to give me the strength to do that. I can't see sometimes, but he's going to give me the strength to do that. He heals. He restores. He comforts. You know what? He just loves you, period. He loves you. Our choices of today do determine our decisions and our destiny of tomorrow. And I pray that as you walk along this path and you have these gifts that you've been given in your life, you've been given breath, you've been given health, you've been given people in your life, you've been given the most glorious gift of who you are yourselves, and you've been given the best gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. I, without a doubt, just pray that you listen to the song tonight and that you go, wow, Mary, did you know? But then again, did you know? Do you know who this Jesus is? And if you don't, I pray you leave curious tonight. You can come talk to me. You can come talk to anybody in this church, any of these women in this church that love the Lord, that really want you to know who He really is. He really is real. He's alive. I get excited because I know without a doubt I am loved unconditionally. Does that excite you? Yeah. It's so exciting. So think about you. Think about your emotional state. Think about surrender. What that really means in your life. I want you to really think about it. And I want you to really think about the gifts that we carry along this path. We are so blessed. So blessed. And you've got to know that for whatever you're going through in your life. Whatever you're going through in your life. You can bow down on your knees and you can look up to the heavens and know that there is a God that is alive, that knows every hair on your head. He knows who you are. He knows your heart. And He loves you. Period. Thank y'all for letting me share tonight. Thank you.